The Bible says that very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, that the women came to the tomb. And the two angels who were there said that he was alive. Luke 24, verse 34. The women ran back to the disciples. And when they found the disciples in Mark chapter 16 and verse 11, they told the disciples that he was alive. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, that Jesus presented himself unto them alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. There can be no doubt at all that on that Sunday morning long ago, that Jesus was raised from the dead and that he was alive. When the Lord established His church, when the Lord set up His church on this earth, the time that the Lord set aside for His church to commemorate, the time that the Lord set aside for His church to celebrate, the time that the Lord set aside in His church for His people to honor and to glorify their risen Savior was not just one day a year, but was every first day of the week. It's interesting that when you go back into Judaism, in the Old Testament they had several annual feast days where once a year the Jews got together and once a year they remembered some event in their history. There's no doubt that the greatest morning that has ever been in the history of the world is when Jesus Christ was alive from the dead. But when you read your New Testaments, it's interesting that God does not tell us to remember that day once a year, as man has chosen to do, but God told us to remember it every first day of the week. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God has given us a plan that every first day of the week, just as we have done this morning, if you're visiting with us this morning, the Lord's Supper is not something that we did this morning because it's a special occasion and we may not do it any other time this year. Following the pattern that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, we have assembled and we assemble every first day of the week. Following the pattern that's given in the New Testament, that the early church came together on the first day of the week to break bread, Acts 20 and verse 7. For that very purpose, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, we've come together today to do this in remembrance of our Lord. But we worship today. We sing today, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. We don't sing that because this is a day that man has set aside to remember the fact that he lives. We do it because this is the Lord's day that he has set aside, that we can remember that he is alive. And the fact that he is alive gives me hope. The fact that he is alive gives me strength. The fact that he is alive gives my faith a solid foundation upon which to stand. This morning I want us, in thinking about the fact that Jesus is alive, I want to turn this morning, and I want to make this a very personal lesson for each and every one of us. I want to ask you this morning, are you alive? You might be pinching yourself. You might be looking at your husband and say, I've been wondering that same thing for the last few weeks, and I'm wondering, are you really alive? I'm looking around and I think physically, some of you may not be awake, but I believe that you're still alive. But we're not talking physically this morning. We're talking spiritually. in your relationship with the God of heaven, when God looks down at you, spiritually, are you alive? Are you alive in Christ? There is no more important question than we can consider this morning. There's no more important question than you can answer this morning. Are you alive in Christ Jesus? But you know, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in sharing with you my opinion about how you could determine if you are alive in Christ or not. And you should not be interested in hearing what I think about whether you are alive in Christ or not. Our goal this morning is to come back to the Word of God and to allow God's Word to answer for you and to answer for me. Am I alive? Get your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to park ourselves in Colossians chapter 2 this morning and look especially at those verses that Jerry read in verses 11, 12, and 13. If you don't have a Bible, grab that one from the pew in front of you. Turn to page 1046 and let's look at this passage together. Because when I come to Colossians chapter 2, here's what I learned. I learned that there are only two possible conditions in which I can exist spiritually. There's not more than two. There's not a multitude of conditions. For you and I, Colossians chapter 2 indicates there are only two possible conditions in which we can exist in the eyes of God. And right now, you are in one of these two conditions. Look in verse 13. The first condition is what we've already been talking about, where God says in verse 13 that you can be alive, but the only place that you can be alive is if you are in Christ. God ties those two things together. You cannot be in Christ and not be alive. You cannot be alive and not be in Christ. Are you alive this morning? Are you in Christ this morning? The other side of that in verse 13 is that if you are not alive, verse 13 says you're dead. If you are not alive in Christ, then the Bible says there's only one other possibility, and that is that you are dead in your trespasses. You remember what God said to Adam and Eve? Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Where he said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Through their trespasses, through their sins, they would be dead in the eyes of God. This morning you are either alive in Christ in the eyes of God, or you are dead in your trespasses in the eyes of God. How do I know? How do I know if I'm alive or not? Look at what this passage tells us. In verse 11, this passage says that if you are in Christ, if you are in Him, then the circumcision of Christ has removed your sins. Just as physical circumcision will remove flesh from the body, Paul takes that and makes an analogy and says the spiritual circumcision of Christ will put away, will remove one's sins from Him. If you are alive in Christ, that indicates that your sins have been taken away, that your sins have been put off. Look at the last phrase of verse 13, where it says that if you are alive in Christ, that you have had your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. How do I know if I'm alive? I know that I'm alive if I have had my sins removed from me, from my body of flesh that I don't need anymore. If I've had my sins forgiven, I am alive in Christ. But if I have not had the body of the sins of the flesh removed from me, then I am still dead in my trespasses. if I have not had my sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus, then I'm still dead in my trespasses. Where are you this morning? Only you and God know best on which side of this screen you fit. Are you this morning alive in Christ? Or are you dead in your trespasses? I don't think there's any question that if you're here this morning, where you want to be. I don't think there's any question that you want to be alive in the eyes of God. The question is, what do I need to do to get there? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm alive? What do I need to do to make sure that my sins have been taken away? Wouldn't you know that right here in Colossians chapter 2, God gives us the answer. What do I need to do to ensure that I'm alive in Christ? In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Look at the verses right in the middle of the two that we've been looking at. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. God gives two things that must have happened in your life in order for you to be alive. Two things. I want to look at the second one first and then back up and look at the first one. Look in the middle of verse 12. The middle of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that we need to be, down in verse 13, made alive in Christ. And this happens when we are raised up with Him. When does that happen? When does it happen when Colossians chapter 2 verse 12 says that we are raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead? In order to be alive, you had to have been raised. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, in order to be alive, in order to experience that newness of life, you had to have been raised with Christ, and then and only then can you go about walking in newness of life. What's the difference between somebody who is dead and somebody who is alive? What's the difference between someone who is dead in the grave and someone who has now been made alive from that grave? There's one member of this congregation that used to work for a coroner's office. And I suspect that he could tell you the difference between what a dead person and a live person is. We have doctors and nurses in here. You could test and check for somebody's pulse. You could test and check for somebody's respiratory rate. We have signs that tell us physically if we are dead or if we are alive. If someone is dead in the grave, then they're not alive. The person who's alive in Christ is that person who has been raised. But it doesn't make sense out of its context. When was I raised? If I'm going to be alive in the sight of God, when did God raise me out of my sins? When did God make me alive? If I want to be alive in Christ in the sight of God, when did God pick me up? If I was dead in my sins, when did God pick me up out of my sins? Look at the beginning of verse 12. The Bible says that I am made alive in Christ when I am buried with Him in baptism. I find it remarkable that the doctrine of baptism has been engulfed in such controversy. Remarkable that the topic of baptism and its relationship or non-relationship to our salvation from sin has become such a divisive and controversial subject. Does baptism have anything to do with me being saved? Does baptism have anything to do with me being alive in Christ? Does baptism have anything to do with my sins being taken away? What does Colossians chapter 2 teach us? Colossians chapter 2 says there's only two possible spiritual conditions I can be in. I can be alive or I can be dead. How do I go from being dead to being alive in the eyes of God? I must have been raised. Well, what happened before I was raised? In order to be alive in Christ, the Bible says, I had to have been buried in baptism. Is that really what this verse teaches? I want you to see that this verse teaches that baptism is essential from a grammatical standpoint. In the Greek language, the word buried is a Greek participle. And Greek participles, the verbs, they always point back to the leading verb of the sentence. And the participles always point back and say, here is when that took place. It puts definition around that verb. And the participle says, here is when something happened. Well, what's the leading verb? Look in verse 11. In Him you were circumcised. Not with a circumcision made with hands, but with the circumcision of Christ, your sins were removed. The leading verb in this sentence is this idea of being circumcised and our sins removed. When were sins removed? The participle buried tells us. When you were buried with Him, your sins were removed. Grammatically, you cannot take baptism out of this verse and make it say anything other that I have to be baptized in order to have my sins removed. The grammar demands it. But not just the grammar, the sequence of events in this verse demands it. If I know I have to be raised in order to be alive in the sight of God, what has to happen before I'm raised? What has to happen before I am raised in the eyes of God? I must have been buried. You don't raise someone from the dead who has not been buried. In order to be alive, the Bible says, I must, through the faith in God, be baptized. It's interesting that some people look at baptism and they want to say that baptism is a work. And if baptism is a work, then it's not necessary for my salvation, because Ephesians chapter 2 says that we're saved not of works. Notice what Colossians chapter 2 says about baptism as a work. Who is doing the work? It's not a work of man. When I am baptized into Christ, it is the work of God who takes my sins and removes them from me. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead is the same God who can raise you out of your trespasses. Are you alive in Christ? If you have not been baptized, not just baptized for any reason, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you have not been baptized into Christ so that your sins could be removed from your soul, then you're not alive in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says if I want to be alive in Christ, I've got to be made alive in Christ. God does that. If I want to be alive in Christ, I need to stay alive. Is it possible? Is it possible that a Christian, one who has been buried, raised out of that watery grave of baptism, is made alive in Christ? Is it possible that that Christian who is alive could die again? In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, Jesus wrote a letter to the church at Sardis. And He said, you have a name about you. He says in Revelation 3 and verse 1, you've got a name about you where you're saying that you are alive. But at the end of verse 1, He says, you are dead. This is an entire group of Christians. It's a church. And Jesus says, yes, you're the church. Yes, you were buried and you were raised again. But now, you're dead. It is possible for one who has become a Christian. It is possible for one who has been made alive to turn from that and to go back into his old ways and for God not to see him alive in Christ anymore. If you're still in Colossians, look in chapter 2 and verse 20. Five times in the book of Colossians you see this little word if, and I just want to show you two of them. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, therefore, if you died, that's exactly what verses 11, 12, and 13 are talking about. If you died with Christ to the elementary, rudimentary, fundamental principles of the world, if you were buried with Christ, if you were raised to walk in newness of life, then you died to that old world. You took that old man off and you put Christ on in baptism, and you should have been dead to the world. But Paul says, if you've died in Christ, why are you going back to the world? Why are you going back and following after the ways of the world? Once I'm raised in Christ and alive in the sight of God, the Bible says I need to keep myself unspotted from the world, James 1 and verse 27. The Bible says that I don't need to be conformed to this world. While Satan is trying to pour us into the mold of our society, God says, don't allow yourself to be squeezed into that mold. Don't follow after the ways of the world. You're alive in Christ. Follow after the path of Christ. Look in chapter 3 and verse 1. Chapter 2 and verse 20 says, if you died with Christ, don't walk after the ways of the world. In fact, back up to verse 23, where in verse 23 it says, don't follow after the doctrines or the commandments of men. I can be made alive in Christ. But I can then leave the path that Christ would have me to follow if I start following after not the teachings of Christ, but the doctrines and the commandments of men. There are many who have been seduced into following after things that are not taught in this book, but are taught and demanded and required of mankind. God says, if you want to be alive in Christ, follow after the commands of God. And then in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, you were buried, you were raised, you became a Christian. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. We need to be like Paul, where Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 that he set his eyes on the goal. Sometimes you can become a Christian, but you take your eyes off of the prize. Sometimes you can become a Christian, but you take your eyes off of the goal of heaven. Have you ever been buried and raised out of that watery grave of baptism, made alive in Christ? Perhaps you're here today and you've done that, but then you've strayed away. You've allowed the pursuits of the world to take on a greater priority in your life. You've allowed the things of this earth to lead you away from your life in Christ. If that's true, brother or sister, I call you home. I beg of you to come back to the Lord. It is possible for you at one time to be alive in Christ, but to so live that you can then become dead again. Put your eyes back on the Lord. Put your eyes back upon Jesus. Put your eyes back upon His Word and allow His Word to be that which guides you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all by the authority of heaven. Do all by the authority of Jesus Christ. Are you alive? We know that on that Sunday morning, that there was no doubt that Jesus was alive. Is there any doubt this morning about you? If you have never given your life to the Lord, if you have faith, you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, and you want to go to heaven, then why don't you make up your mind this morning to do what Colossians chapter 2 says? To be buried in baptism, buried into His death to allow the blood of Jesus to wash away every one of your sins, and to be raised in Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, and then once you've done that, to stay alive in Christ. If you're here this morning and as a child of God, you've wandered away. Brethren, there is no shame. There's no shame in making your life right, making your soul right with the Lord. You may be saying, I'm just going to wait for another day. But the Lord doesn't promise us another day. If you are not alive in Christ this morning, it only takes a step. That's the song we're going to sing. Only a step. You step out in the aisle. The Lord will walk with you. Please come as together we stand and sing.